a high fly ball. He's right center field.
It's good! And score! Greer beating it!
Rodgers over the middle. What a throw, Jennings!
Time for sports. Joining us from the Yonhap News Agency is Big U Yuji Ho. Hello.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning to you, sir. We're going to begin with the KBO. It looks like the NC Dinos, who had been reeling of late, they've been in first place for most of the season, and they can finally clinch the regular season title potentially tonight.
Yep, they will be facing the Hanwha Eagles on the road with a chance to take their first pennant and book a trip straight to the Korean Series. They've been in first place since May the 13th, and that was the ninth day of the season. And a win tonight will give them the first regular season title. You know, there are five games on the LG Twins, 5.5 on the KT Wiz, who've got more games left than the LG with 5, and Dinos have 7 games left. Now, you know, very few people have figured out how this whole magic number thing works in the KBO, but the Dinos can end all that, headache-inducing stuff with the wind tonight or in the next 7 games to clinch the top spot.
Hmm.
And the playoff picture has become a lot clearer. Lotte Giants are out. Kia Tigers on the verge of being out as well.
Hmm.
4 of the 5 spots have been locked down. We're talking about the Dinos with LG Twins and the QM Heroes. And the Doosan Bears holding on to the 5th spot, 5 games to go. They can lock down their 6th consecutive postseason berth with a win tonight. They're only 2 games out of second place, so now they're 5th. A couple of days later, they could be back up to 2nd or 3rd. That's how tight the battle has been so far this season, but top place will not be challenged. The Dinos should be able to clinch top spot in the next coming days.
And just curious, have you decided whether you are going to cover the games in Jamsil live, or are you going to try to keep your eyes more focused on the NC Dinos' potential clinching game today?
Yeah, I think I'll follow the NC Dinos game. It's potentially a bigger story.
Right.
It seems like only a matter of time before they do it. I'm just hoping it'll be tonight. Because, they had a chance to do it on Wednesday, and the game got rained out. So and I don't think it's going to rain down in Daejeon today, so hopefully they'll be able to pull this one.
All right. Good to know. Let's talk about the MLB. The World Series is going on. A lot of media attention here, obviously, because the Tampa Bay Rays have a cleanup hitter, Trejiman, at least in the platoon setting. Trejiman did get a start as the cleanup hitter in Game 2. He did not start Game 1, and he was subsequently kind of jerked up and taken back out as in a pinch hit spot in Game 1. But he did get the start in Game 2, and he significantly contributed to the Rays winning Game 2 and evening up the series. So I guess it's time to gush and sing his praises and talk about how awesome this all is.
Sure, why not? He had a big role, I think, in this 6-4 victory in Game 2 as the Rays evened the series at 1 game apiece. Che went 1-for-3 with 2 runs scored, displayed some heads-up base running in this game. He got the start against right-handed, starter or opener, Tony Gonsolin, back in his usual cleanup spot. Reaching on a fielder's choice in the 4th inning, his second trip to the plate, and scored later on Joey Randle's double. In the 6th inning, he got a single off Joe Kelly and moved from first to third pretty alertly on a single to left field. Chris Taylor playing left, he was shaded towards center, had a long way to come toward the line to grab the ball off the bat of Manny Margot. So Che took third base on that play, and it paid off right away. He came to score on a sack fly by Joey Randle to make it 6-2. And, of course, the Dodgers got a couple of runs back to make it 6-4. So I guess, that insurance run really did count at the end for the Rays. He was lifted for a pinch hitter in the 7th inning. Day off for the teams today, and they go back at it for Game 3 tomorrow morning our time.
Yeah, I mean, in your overall view of this series with Trez's role here, certainly he is dependent on right-handers getting that initial start to be in the lineup, right, at the beginning.
Yeah.
Of the game. I think a lot of people who don't follow baseball would be surprised to know that he's a pretty savvy base runner, because you look at his figure, he's slightly, looks like somebody who wouldn't necessarily be. He's a bit chubby, and so you don't think he's necessarily a savvy base runner. You look at Mookie Betts and you go, oh wow, yeah, of course that guy's going to be one of the best base runners in the league. But those things also in analytics get calculated. highlighted in terms of the runs that you are contributing to as a player. You feel that should the series go long, he will be potentially a pretty significant contributor to whether the Rays win or not.
Yeah, I mean, he gets on base also quite a bit. And during the ALCS, I think his on base was plus 400, small sample notwithstanding.
Yeah.
And he's got a good eye at the plate. He has proven already that he can handle some high velocity right-handed pitching. You know, he's homered off Gerrit Cole. He's going to face Walker Buehler in Game 3. Most likely he will get the start again in cleanup spot. And he can really pick it at first base. So he's pretty nimble and agile for a guy his size. And, you know, he's going to do his part, I think, whether the Rays win or not.
All right. Well, certainly I will be watching this very, very carefully. I'm sure I'm rooting for some team that might be going against the majority opinion right now in Korean society, but just got to be a fan, I suppose. Let's turn to the K-League, Big U. Ulsan, Jeonbuk clashing for the final time. The title is at stake here. So the two best clubs will be facing off on Sunday. Give us a preview.
Sure. Well, it's going to be Ulsan Jeonbuk Part 3 and final time this season in the K-League. 4:30 p.m. kickoff on Sunday. Right now, they're tied at the top with 54 points, but Ulsan currently ahead thanks to their 51-43 advantage in the goals scored tie-breaking department. Jeonbuk won their first two meetings, and then Ulsan, you know, they've lost three times all season, and two of the defeats have come against Jeonbuk. So they've got to overcome the mental block whenever they play Jeonbuk. And also, you know, they've lost two key players from two direct red cards from the last match. Dave Bolters on defense and Bjorn Janssen on offense. So they're going to have to, you know, their depth will be tested against Jeonbuk, who will have to, you know, make up the 8-goal difference if they were to win their fourth straight title. Could happen, but it would be a lot easier if they just beat Ulsan today, on the weekend, and try to win the next match on November 1st. So Ulsan's still kind of in the driver's seat just because they have the advantage in the goal scored. But if they lose on Sunday, they're going to be in a big hole the final day of the season, November 1st. So a lot at stake for both clubs. Ulsan trying to win their first title since 2005. Jeonbuk going for the fourth consecutive title. No one has ever done that in the K-League. Ulsan coach Kim Do-hoon said the goal is to stick to the team's strength instead of, you know, trying to exploit Jeonbuk's weaknesses. And there are a few. For Jeonbuk, their coach Jose Marias, he's enjoying the ride. He's savoring this opportunity to play these big matches and this late in the season. And, you know, this is a club with some championship pedigree and DNA, so they're not going to go down easily.
Well, speaking of championship DNA, let's talk about our final story here. Volleyball, Kim Yeon-kyung making her return to the V-League with Hunguk. Tell us about this.
Sure. Well, she made her season debut just a couple of days ago, and Hunguk last beating GS Celtics three sets to one. It's a pretty tight match for a match this early in the season, 29-27 first set, 30-28 in the second set. They're going into fourth set battle. With Hunguk Life, some people think that they probably won't even lose any match the whole year to win the championship. There are certainly a juggernaut, but GS Celtics gave them everything they could handle. And Kim Yeon-kyung's home opener comes Sunday. The game was actually moved up to 2 p.m., so network TV could pick it up for the national audience. So that's how much hype there is surrounding Kim Yeon-kyung and her team.
Well, a lot of fans, and still widely considered to be the best Korean player, and arguably still one of the best female volleyball players in the world. So certainly a lot of fans will be rooting her on. As always, Big U, thank you very much for the reporting. Appreciate it. Hope you have a good weekend and look forward to talking to you again next week.
You too. Thanks for having me.
Well, that was sports, and that's going to do it for our program today, for today as well as for the rest of the week. Our producers are Kang Jin-soo and Kim Jae-san. Our writers are An Yu-jung, Sung Eun-ji, and Song Yi-won. Coming up next is Life Abroad, hosted by Na Seung-yeon. Stay tuned for that. We hope you have a good weekend. We'll be back on Monday for another edition of This Morning at 7 a.m. Enjoy the rest of your day. This has been Henry Shin. Goodbye.